Okay, let's start learning. The Navi Yeshayahu looked ahead into the future, to the end of days, and he saw there'd be a special Jew that would be living at the end of time. I want to talk about this special Jew. It says in the fourth paragraph of Yeshayahu, V'hoyo hanish'ar b'tzion v'hanosar b'yushalayim kadosh ye'om aloi. Hanishar b'tzion v'hanosar b'yushalayim. There's going to be somebody who remains, the remnant of the Jewish people. But we'll see this is a special type of an individual who is going to be the star at the end of time. He's going to be singled out by Hashem as the Nishar b'tzion v'hanosar b'yushalayim, the one who is left, who remains in Yushalayim. Kadosh Ye'om Alo. And he will be called the one who is holy. So who is this unique person who's going to receive such special recognition by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of time? Kadosh Ye'om Alo. He'll be called the one who is holy. So we're going to learn a teaching from Yenachman. This is in response to something that was asked of me. Something I had, interestingly enough, this week, three people had asked this of me to talk about this inyan, so I'm responding to that. And we're going to learn a small teaching, a part of a teaching of Rabbi Nachman, from the 59th Torah in the first Chaylik. There Rabbi Nachman reveals the following. Ki zeho ish ha-mishtadal l'karev v'lazos nefoshes. The person who exerts himself or herself, the person who makes a great effort, l'karev v'lazos nefoshes, to bring Jews back to Hashem, to be makar of Jews, to bring Jews closer to Hashem. The b'chinas v'esa anefesh asher also b'charim. To bring people to belief in Hashem, as we see that Avraham Avinu did. As it says in the Torah, anefesh asher also b'charim, that he was magari gerim, he brought many people over to belief in Hashem. So Rabbi Nachman says here a fascinating thing. I'm going to try to explain. And I'm a drager. Who bone bechinas heichal hakodesh? The Jew who is makarav in the fashos, who brings others closer to Hashem, he is building what Rabbi Nachman calls the heichal hakodesh, the holy sanctuary. The person who does this is responsible for building the heichal hakodesh, the holy sanctuary. And he is the one regarding whom it is written, the one who is left in Jerusalem, who is left in Yerushalayim, who is called by everybody as the one who is holy. It's referring to the one, to that individual, to those rare individuals through whom other Jews who would otherwise have been far away from Hashem are able to remain, or were able to remain till the end of Golus, attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Master of the World. And Rabbi Nachman writes, V'heichal zeh b'chinas hakoved. Sheniskabit Hashem Yisborach. And why is it called the sanctuary of Hashem, the Heichal of Hashem? Because Heichal, sanctuary, Rabbi Nachman says, means covet. It means the honor and the glory of Hashem. The word sanctuary, even in English, comes from the word to sanctify. The Heichal is a b'chinas ha-kovet sh'niskabed Hashem Yisborach, k'muva b'zor ha-kodesh, kad osi Yisro, k'dein Yisyak Yashem et k'tshabrichu, the Zohar says, that the greatest glory, the greatest honor of Hashem is when those who are far away are brought near. And the Zohar says that when Yisro, who was a worshipper of idols, who had worshipped every idol in the ancient world, that when Yisro was drawn close to Hashem, the Zohar says that Hashem's kovet, Hashem's honor and His glory was elevated throughout the universe. V'zeh b'chinas sapru b'goyim es kivodo. This is the deeper meaning of we will speak of Hashem's glory among all the nations. Shayidei shemekarvim es atzman avadis Hashem es boruch elu harachokim, that by these people who are far away from Hashem being brought close to Hashem. Zeu kvoda yisborach shemo, Rabbi Nachman says. This is his greatest honor and his greatest glory. Va'kovid zeu b'chinas heichel. And kovid, honor, the honor of Hashem, is the b'china, is the aspect that is called heichel, which means sanctuary. Why? B'china, as it's written in Tehillim, u'b'heicholo kulo omer kavod. U'b'heicholo kulo omer kovid. Ubehechalo kulo mer kavod means that where is Hashem's glory most profoundly revealed? In His heichal, in His sanctuary, in His holy place, the place that is there to reveal His splendor and His glory, to bring kavod. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman puts this all together in his own unique, original, remarkable way and says that when a person brings somebody else from far away, close to Hashem, and in doing so reveals Hashem's kavod from a distant place, the person by doing that, the one who is makar of that person, is building something which is called the Heichal Hashem, the sanctuary of Hashem, like a mikdash, that reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu's splendor and glory in the universe. U'b'heichalo kulo mer kavod. Let's understand on our level. Let's understand. And this person is the one who is referred to by the Novi Yeshayahu as the Hanosa B'Yushalayim Kadosh Yomalo, the one who is left, the one who is at the end of time going to be most honored and most revered in Yushalayim. Because through him, Rabbi Nachman says, there were Jews who were able to remain connected to Hashem till the end of time. Jews who would have drifted away. So the remnant of the Jewish people will return to Yushalayim being led by the rare individual who was Makarev, people who were otherwise distant from Hashem. And together they will celebrate in the Heichel, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the sanctuary of Hashem, of HaHecholo Kuloi Oymer Kovet. Let's understand the Namadrega. Is there somebody who's touching the lights that's going on enough all the time? How's that? Or is this just like a disco or something, the effect? But it's, maybe it's just me. Yeah, Purim still. Chazal describe the person who's makar of other Jews as the most precious in God's eyes. There's a beautiful saying in the Zohar Kodesh. Zakor man de'ochid biyoda de'chayova. That means how worthy and how precious is the one who takes the sinner by the hand and helps to pull the person out of sin. Zakor man de'ochid biyoda de'chayova. How worthy and how precious in Hashem's eyes is the one who takes the hand of a person who has fallen into chayt, who has fallen into sin. And this person who takes these neshamas that have fallen into Tumah, that Jew who is able to reach his hand into the impure world of the klipas of sin, and to take hold of another Jew, and to pull that person out. So this person, Rabbi Nachman says, is building the Heichal HaKadosh, the holy sanctuary, the Heichal Hashem. Why? And what does it have to do with Kavod? We spoke about Kavod last week, and the Moloch is being the force that opposes Kavod. And tonight we're going to continue to try to work on that a little bit more. Why is that Kavod? There are some people when they come to a shul, they come to a Beis Medrash, they come to a yeshiva, they come to a religious community, they walk down a street, a beautiful street with Shemesh Shabbos stores, and from people, and Bat Medrashim and Mikvahs and Beis Yaakovs and so on, there are some people who are able to see in all of that the Kavod Hashem, the glory of Hashem, and there is the glory of Hashem revealed in such things. But when that same person walks down a street, say somewhere far, far away from a shul, from yeshiva, from a mikveh, and so on. When that person walks down a place, walks in a part of the world that smells from impurity, that person cannot see at all the glory of Hashem. Can't see at all the kavod of Hashem. But then there's that rare individual who's called the Nosar B'Yushalayim, the one who was left in Jerusalem, the one who brings the Jews back to Yerushalayim. And he is the one that builds the Heichal HaKavod, the Heichal HaKodesh, the sanctuary of Hashem's glory. Why? Because there's such thing as a person who believes so deeply, so completely, so passionately that Hashem is to be found everywhere, that this Jew is able to see, even in the lowest Jew, even in the person who mamish smells from the klipas, from the kochas of impurity. But this special Jew, the Nosar B'Yushalayim, is such a koach. He's spending his whole life looking for the kavod of Hashem, seeking Hashem's kavod. And he believes that Hashem's kavod is to be found in the lowliest of creatures. Also, not just in the Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, Lahavdil, Muncie, Borough Park, or Williamsburg. Not just. But the Kavod of Hashem is everywhere. And then those Jews who unfortunately have fallen into Tumah, who have unfortunately fallen into impurity. So the Torah says regarding Hashem, and those Jews, Hashochein itam b'soch tumosam, that Hashem dwells with the Jewish people even in their impurity. But most of us don't see that. So most of us, who are not the builders of Hashem's sanctuary, we're just hoping to get a spot there. We're just hoping to stand on line, to be allowed in. So most of us don't see that. When we see a person who's a tzaddik, a choshviyid, a talmud chacham, a tzaddikus, or something, we say, oh, kuloy oimer kavod. There the glory of Hashem resides. But when you see a person who's far, far from Yiddishkeit, who has midas that are terribly ugly. So most Jews are not able to see any kavod of Hashem in that person. But then there are the true seekers of Hashem's kavod, the builders of the Heichal HaKodesh, the builders of the Kulo Omer Kavod. And those seekers of Hashem's kavod are able to look at any Jew, in any situation, in any place, and to see the nekuda, the point of holiness, that shoychein itam b'soich tumaisam, just as Hashem sees in every Jew that good that's left. There are these Jews, the Nosarim B'Yushalayim, who are able to see the little good that's left inside everyone, the kavod. And with great mysterious nefesh, they're able to reveal that kavod of Hashem that otherwise would have been concealed. You take certain Jews. If you imagine if a person like Uri Zohar wouldn't have done tshuva, you know how much tumah he was bringing to the world in Eretz Yisrael. so much impurity, and there was no covet of Hashem that was being revealed. But then Baruch Hashem, he was chozer b'tshuva, and those people who were metapel, those people who were makariv, a man like that, of great spiritual koach, and great intelligence, but somebody who was mamish swimming in tumma, but those who brought him up, brought him out, and built the Heichel HaKovet, the Heichel HaKodesh, so then look at all the glory of Hashem that's been revealed to that person. As an example, that he is able to communicate with Israelis who are, who themselves have drifted. Look how much Kovet Shemayim came from that. Look what a beautiful part of the Beis HaMikdash, of Hashem's sanctuary, of Hashem's Kovet is being constructed through the people who were able to grab hold of that hand that was falling deeper and deeper into the mire of impurity. So these are the lonely builders of Hashem's sanctuary. So Rabbi Nachman is talking about.
And
that person, those individuals are called, each one is called Hanosar B'Yushalayim. But there's a great danger in this. And here I'm going to address a subject that I don't often talk about in public. I've spoken to individuals who are eager for the right reasons, usually, to be makarv the Jews. There are certain dangers that are involved. There's danger that's involved. And Rabbi Nachman himself alludes to this. So Rabbi Nachman writes in that Torah, it's actually the beginning, the first line of that Torah is, Misha Mishtadl Tomid Lekarev Bnei Odom La'avedes Hashem Yisbarach. Those Jews who are trying all the time to be makarev others, La'avedes Hashem Yisbarach, to bring others back to Hashem, to serve Hashem. So he says, such a person, Tzarech Lishmor Es Atzmo. What is that? Tzarech Lishmor Es Atzmo. That person has to watch himself, has to guard himself, and watch himself very, very carefully. Why? Shlo yis'achsu bo ha'klipos v'hara shel elu b'nei odom. In order that the klipos is a Kabbalistic term. For our purposes here, it means that impurity. In order that the klipos, Rabbi Nachman says, in the ra and the evil shel elu b'nei odom, that those people should not infiltrate into the life of the one who is trying to be makar of them. That's what Rabbi Nachman writes at the beginning. Let's understand. Let's understand. I intend for this talk to be practical, to be taken on a practical level. The last few weeks people have complained things have been a little bit too abstract. Those are the only ones that have complained. You can imagine the ones that don't complain. So I'm trying to be very much lamaisa. It's a scary thing in the Gemara. Gemara says in Brachos, in the first parak, if the eye of a human being would be given permission to see, if we could see with our eyes, if we could see with our eyes, there wouldn't be a human being who would be able to withstand, who would be able to survive, if we'd be able to see the mezikin, the destructive kochos that are created through averus, which means, on a simple level, it means everybody here knows that any time a Jew, God forbid, sins, there are many ways that Chazal described this, but any time that a Jew, we've never seen it, we don't know what it means, we don't see things, we know even on a very simple physical level, that if you take a drink of water here in New York, it looks so nice and clear, but if you put it under the right kind of lens, so you'll find there's like a whole community there. There's a thriving community in that little drop of water that you thought was so clear and clean. So lahavdil, lahavdil, elef alfei avdalos. When a Jewish person sins, this we're taught by Chazal in many, many places, in the Zohar HaKadosh, elef alfei pa'amim, in thousands of places. That when God forbid a Jew sins,
Every time a Jew sins, the Aveira creates mashchisim, destructive koiches, that we can't see with our eyes. Destructive spiritual bacteria. And Chazal described to us how these mashchisim, these destructive forces, attach themselves to the person's life and cause bitterness and sorrows and difficulty and sadness and anguish, and draw the person into things that are worse than the first sin. So the Nosar B'Yushalayim, Rabbi Nachman is teaching us, that lonely Jew who's schlepped a couple of others into Yushalayim, the end of time, that lonely Jew is in great danger, because he is vulnerable. He is being exposed, or she is being exposed to the mashchisim, to the koach, to the this negative spiritual energy that has been produced as a result of the sins of the people whom he's reaching out to. And I think that there are three ofanim, three ways to understand on our level, three ways that these mashchisim, that these negative forces, and this isn't something which is a matter of superstition, this is whoever believes in the truth of the Torah and believes in the truth of Chazal have to accept these things even though we don't see with our eyes the unbearable presence of these mashchisim. So there are three ways that the one who is the Nosar B'Yushalayim, the one who is Makar of others, is susceptible to catching a disease. The first when somebody is trying to be Makar of other Jews and you're involved with all the different types of people, you will have to bring yourself into the lives of these individuals in order to connect to them, to relate to them, and you're therefore going to hear, as Hashem Yisbarach knows, how many things I've heard over the years that I would like to forget, but you have to hear story after story. Of you read this in the Nefilas, Jewish people who have fallen into terrible things, who have, on all different levels in terms of beliefs, emunas v'deyas, to hear all kinds of bizarre things. How many hundreds if not thousands of hours, I've had discussions with people about Eastern religions and about Christianity, and I had like many, many volumes. And then about things like Gilui Arayos, about immorality, people who are stuck in certain tzaras, and things that are not pleasant to hear, things that are unpleasant. In short, none of these stories, for the most part, either because of violence or idolatry or adultery, none of these would be rated G, you understand? These are not for general audiences. And because of that, one has to be very strong in one's yahadis and daven all the time that you should be a strong Jew. I know I'm saying something very simple. I just want to give a little chizuk to myself as well. That you have to daven all the time, that you have to, that your yahadis, your Yiddishkeit should be thriving and shining and strong. Because if not, then these words that you hear from the person who's embedded in sin, the thoughts, the words, the things that are expressed by that person can mamish be yoidim or below yoidim, without you realizing it. You'd find yourself, instead of pulling the person out of the mud, you could find yourself joining the person or even sinking beneath that person. Chalila. It can cause you mamish to be torn away from holiness. Therefore, ideally, who's on this madriga. But Rabbi Nachman warns us. We understand that therefore a person who himself or herself is not somebody who's a warrior, is not someone who is to a large extent successful fighting against these taivas, these desires that he has to hear about or she has to listen to. If you yourself are caught up in that mess, if you're not above it, completely above it, in our generation it's not shaykh. But if you're not a person who is to a large extent a successful warrior in the struggle with these taivas, with these darker things in reality, you have to be very, very careful. You're terribly, terribly vulnerable to failure. Without realizing it. It doesn't mean that you take your yarmulke off or you cut your tzitzis or you take off your shekel or something. You don't realize it. Slowly things seep in. The second type of danger. Very often, people who are caught in a certain cycle of avarice, very often those people are neither are inclined towards atzvus and marashchayr, towards terrible sadness and depression. There's a great deal of sadness and depression in the world. This doesn't mean to say that people are not religious are sad and people who are religious are happy. I'm not saying that. I'm not talking dafka about Jews who are not religious. I'm talking about being mekarev nefashos, bringing Jews, even someone who's religious, but to bring the person closer to Hashem. Generally, people who are out there are overwhelmed by sadness and depression. And there's never been a generation, I believe, like this time that we're in now, where there's so much atzvus and so much marashchayr. It's unbelievable. So much sadness. So much despair, people have given up. And because of that, if you spend a great deal of time with people who are depressed and who are sad, it can have a terrible impact upon you. And you yourself can find it, you could become, God forbid, a person who becomes emotionally downtrodden. You could, God forbid, lose your sense of simcha and ahavas chaim and love of life. When you hear enough depressing stories, therefore, a person who wants to try to be a nice Ever Yushalayim, one of the remnants of Jerusalem, to build the Heichel HaKodesh, the sanctuary of holiness, that person must be mechazik himself or herself always, continuously, in the midah of simcha, in the midah of joy. Aside from the fact that on a practical basis, practically speaking, it has an enormous positive influence over the people who you're with, it prevents you from descending into the darkness that you're trying to pull that other person out of. It's the second, sakona, the second danger. The third danger, my own experiences dealing with all different situations, I think this is the most widespread. There's a third sakana, a third danger for the nosar v'yushalayim. Yeshus v'gaiva. You know what that means? It means there's a tendency, there's a netia for the person who's makar of others to see himself or herself as superior to other people. God forbid. Many, many Bali Tshuva on all levels of Bali Tshuva. I'm not just speaking about non-religious Jews. Many, many Bali Tshuva have been terribly offended by the condescending tones of people who supposedly are trying to be makar of them, as if they are better than them. And we're going to save you from sin. Therefore, everything about us is superior to you. We are morally superior. Our families are. Everything is better. Excuse me. I don't think this needs to be explained. This is the danger that any person who has a position of authority is in. when you're supposedly going to, when you feel that you're showing someone the light and revealing the truth to somebody else? Some people who are involved in this so-called malacha of kiruv nefashos have egos that don't allow other people to enter into the same continent with them. And there's a danger of yeshus v'gaiva. I knew a guy that used to say, this year I was makarev 12 people. This year I was makarev 14 people. Like a scorecard, you know. He was makarev there. He said, shtegaiva. So Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Nachman gives us an etzah. That's what we're going to talk about now. Rabbi Nachman advises us what to do. He helps us out. The advice isn't so easy. Rabbi Nachman gives us an etzah. He doesn't spell out these three types of sakonas. He just says there's a sakana. But I'm just trying to make things a little bit easier to understand. That in my way of looking at it, these are the three basic areas of danger. Again, there's the sakana, there's the danger that by being so involved in the subject of yiridus and the feelus and ugly things that God forbid, you could be drawn into those things yourself. And then there's the sakana of sadness and depression, and the sakana, the danger of one's ego becoming inflated, of yeshus and gaiva. A person who's Isaac and Kir in the Foshes has to see himself ka'ainu ke'efes mamish. In order to build the Heichal HaKodesh, you have to see yourself as completely unworthy. And that everything is a gift mamish from Hashem. Every second is a gift from Hashem, who has rachmanis on the Jews who need help, not on you. You have to be ka'ainu ke'efes mamish. So Rabbi Nachman gives us an Eitzah. And he writes, Eitzah al zeh. An Eitzah. Rabbi Nachman's advice. And that's going to sound weird in the beginning. So don't let your gaiva tell you that there's not something to this. Eitzah al zeh. What's the Eitzah? For the person who wants so much to be makar of others, who wants to be that, to build the Heichal Hashem, who wants to see good in others and draw out the glory of Hashem that's hidden under piles of trash, who wants so badly to take an opportunity to show the world, look here, Hashem. Hashem is here also. You thought He wasn't here. Hashem is Baruch is here too. And to build a Heichal HaKodesh, to put down a flag for Hashem in this world. That's what you do. That's what you're doing. You know, people in America, they went to the moons. It was like big thing, so there's some flag sitting up there, I guess. It's still there, Mustafa. I don't think anybody took it down. So there's a flag of the United States on the moon, no? It's a gewaldige thing. It's a gewaldige thing. I'm sure the our founding fathers would be very proud. But can you imagine when you reveal the covet of Hashem in another Jew, in the life of another Jew, in another place? When a person opens up a little bit medrashal, when you teach Torah somewhere, when you daven somewhere, v'heicholu kulo mekoved. So everybody wants that. So here's Rabbi Nachman's Eitzah. Eitzah al zeh. Sheyazmin malach elibo. You should arouse and awaken the malachim of your heart, the angels of the heart. That sounds funny, right? You should arouse the malachei libo, the angels of the heart. Shehu bechinas eslav usalev. Which means, the malachim of the heart means to awaken within oneself a eslav usalev. Eslav us, an exuberance, an enthusiasm, a fire in the heart. Shah eslav us hu bechinas malachim. Because the eslav us, I don't know if you could even translate eslav us, no? Is there a good translation for Slav or somebody? Huh? What? Somebody. No? Enthusiasm, that's it? I also know that word. I was looking for something better. Exuberance, I also said. No, that sounds like a commercial or something. Huh? Flaming desire, better. A flaming exuberance. What was I? Good. Let me put it together a little bit. Shkoyach. A flaming excitement and exuberance. Hislavus. You know what the word means. Hislavus. So Ibn Nachman says that's called the Malochim Shebalev. That's called the angel, the Malach in the heart. Why? Here's an example of one of Rabbi Nachman's brilliant Bechinos, interpretations of a Pasuk. The Bechinos Vayerel of Malach Hashem Balabas Eish. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the vision of the bush that was on fire, so it says that the Malach appeared to him Balabas Eish, which can be translated in the heart of fire. In the heart of the fire. The Labas Eish. In the flame. Labas Eish. Shall heves ka. The Labas Eish is the word lave. The Labas Eish. The Malach of Hashem appeared. Rabbi Nachman interprets this. Where does the Malach Hashem, what is the Malach of Hashem that appears in the heart of a person? So Rabbi Nachman says, the Labas Eish. Labas Eish means fiery enthusiasm. Fiery excitement over Avodas Hashem. The Eish Hazer, Ibn Nachman says, this fire, this Malachul, this fire, the Eish Hazer who Soyref Oysa, this fire of the heart of excitement, this fire burns away and destroys the Mashchisim, destroys the impure kochos that are created through the other Jews' sins that surround the Nosar B'Yushalayim, that attack the one who's trying to draw the other one near, and cause that person himself endless misery. And then the holy sanctuary will be enlivened, will receive the fire, the strength of this fire of holiness, of Islavas. V'sorifis haklipos gamul his achis bo. So not only will the malach of Eish, the fiery angel of excitement and enthusiasm, not only will that burn away the mashchisim that are attached, the impurity that's attached to the Jew who's off the track, but that will protect the individual himself, the Nosav Yushalayim, from falling into those three areas that we spoke of. Those three problems that we spoke of taivis, of improper desires, of depression, and of gaiv and conceit. To understand this teaching of Rabbi Nachman, which is a hafledikah teaching, and a practical eitzah that I believe in 100%. We'll look at a little bit at another Torah of Rabbi Nachman's, Kuf Nun Vav. In the first Chalik, the 156th Torah, Kuf Nun Vav. That's a short Torah. If you have a chance, if you have a look at the Maran, you wanna build up a good fire, take a look at that. It's unbelievable. Kuf Nun Vav. There's a famous pasuk because it's a popular song. As a friend of mine says, it's a famous song that was put into a pasuk, that was made into a pasuk. Leiv tahor berali Elokim, v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. Leiv tahor berali Elokim. David HaMelech was asking Hashem. David HaMelech felt that he had fallen away as a result of the Maaseh of Bathsheba. So David HaMelech begged Hashem, Leiv tahor berali Elokim, Hashem, create within me a pure heart. Create within me a pure heart. Leiv tahor berali Elokim. V'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi, and an upright good spirit renew within me. So Ibn Nachman asks the question, how does one go about purifying his heart? Leiv tahor berali Elokim. You're asking the Rebbeinu Shlom, you have to do something. What do you have to do? What does one do to purify the heart? V'tahir libeinu, what do we have to do? Leiv tahor berali Elokim. What do we do? So in Kuf Nun Vav, Rabbi Nachman says the following. Listen to the Chiddush. This is an explanation of what we just spoke about, the fiery angel of enthusiasm.
V'taharas halev, hu al yedei shemislahev u'boer libo l'Hashem yisbarach. The heart is purified when it is burning with desire, when it is burning with excitement in avodas Hashem. Aydeze nitar halev. Through that, the heart becomes purified. Hineged shenislahev v'niver la'aveira o l'tayver roach hasasholom shemizeh nitma libo.
How does the heart become defiled? In order to purify the heart, you have to know how it became defiled. Since we have a rule in halacha, there's a practical rule that's called kibolo kach polto, which means that the way that something of impurity or something not kosher was absorbed, that's the way it has to be extracted. That's the way you get rid of it. That's the guiding rule of all the laws of kashering. Kibolo kach polto. The way it was absorbed is the way it came in is the way it goes out. So Ibn Achman said, what's a taiva? A taiva means that a person has a fiery desire for something that's wrong. And that taiva, that labas eish, the fiery heart that had taken a person away from the truth and drawn the person into ugliness, that fiery heart can only be purified according to the rules of the Torah with the fire of the malach of labas eish, of excitement, of exuberance. You can't be a cold Jew and purify your heart. Purification takes place with a varmkeit, with warmth and with a fire, with a glow, with a slavas, with davening bekol, with davening out loud, and going and going to tzaddikim, and forcing oneself with mesiras nefesh and avodas Hashem. And Ben Achman spells it out. Neged zed sarach she yislahi v'yavara libo l'Hashem yisbarach, because the heart was rendered non-kosher because of fires that were unholy. So the only way to kasher the heart, leiv tahor b'ra'ol Elokim, the only way to kasher the heart is with the fire of excitement. K'mo shekosuv, as is written by Midbar, this is the source of the principle of kashering. Kol dover sheyover beish ta'avir beish. Any utensil that came into fire, in other words, that was used in fire to become impure, ta'avir beish, must be put through the fire in order to become purified. So one doesn't have to go through fires, chas v'shalom in Gehenim. One doesn't have to pass through all kinds of fires, not of tzaros, not tragedies, not fires of suffering, God forbid. But one has to find that nekudas halev, that point of heartfulness. They say that when Reb Tzadok from Lublin was first by the Izbitzer, there are many stories related to that event. You know, Reb Tzadok, the coin from Lublin, came from an un-Hasidic background. He was one of the greatest geniuses in all of Europe as a young man. And because of a personal problem in his family, he had to travel throughout Europe. And on one of his trips, he met the Holy Rebbe from Izbitzer, Rav Mordechai Yosef, the Me'ah Shiloach. And we're told that the Rebbe wanted very much Reb Tzadok to be drawn near to the way of the Baal Shem Tov. Obviously, that's a big, big catch. So he invited, Reb Tzadok came in Friday night to the Tish, to the table, with all the chassidim, and the Rebbe, the Me'ah Shiloach, invited Reb Tzadok, the Kohen, the famous genius, to come sit next to him, and the Kohen stood in the back. And all the chassidim, when the Izbitzer was saying Torah, the most beautiful Torah in the world, all the chassidim were looking at the face of the kohen to see whether he's impressed. And the kohen stood the whole time just leaning against the bookcase in the back. He didn't sit down. Shabbos morning, another meal, same thing. Shulashulis was dark. And the Rebbe, the Izbitzer, was talking. In the middle of what seemed to be like a, it wasn't like a particularly moving point that the Izbitzer was making. All of a sudden, Reb Sadik began to scream from the back. The whole place was terrified. Reb Sadik started to scream, "The Rebbe's burning my heart. The Rebbe's pouring acid upon my heart. Gewalt, gewalt, Rebbe. I don't have a heart. I don't have a heart." And the Meir Shiloach looked up and told him, "You have a heart, but you have to enhearten your heart. You have to be malavev the leiv. It has to be a labas eish." And the Rebbe threw acid on Reb Sadik's heart, and the rest is history. The coin from Lublin turned the whole world around to this fire. And how does one come to his labas? No. So how does one generate such a flame? How do you get the labas eish going, right? That's the subject of all the svarim, obviously. But in that Torah, Rabbi Nachman reveals in the Kuda a very, very precious thing. In Kuf Nun Vav, how does one cause there to be a flame? The purifying fires of Leiv Tahor Barali Elokim. So Rabbi Nachman discusses the mystery of motion. Of motion. In Hebrew, Tnu'ah. Tnu'ah. The mystery of motion. Now, you know, we know much more about these things nowadays. When I say we know much more about these things, meaning that there are more detailed explanations. I don't believe that we know more about these things than Rabbi Nachman. But we have more books that speak about these things. Everybody knows that movement, motion, causes warmth. Correct? Motion causes warmth. And in case you don't believe that, if anybody would want, you could volunteer, just walk, quickly run back and forth across the shul, and you will find that you will be getting very warm. Right? You begin to perspire. It's my rarest chamimus. That's why when a person is lying still, why is it that everybody likes to be cozy under a blanket? Because when you're lying still, you're not moving, so the body has a tendency to become cold. That's why one wants to be covered. When you're in one place, you become cold. You're not moving. Rabbi Nachman adds an amazing thing. You could be sitting still. You could be sitting still, you're not moving at all. And you could find yourself becoming very, very overheated. How? If your mind, if your thoughts begin to move. You know, if you ever, like, let's say you ever felt that you were in big trouble. Right? You know, you're sitting, it's nice, 60 degrees, 65 degrees, but something, like, you realize you're in big, somebody's on to you, you know? You're in big trouble. So you know how, you start... You right away get all verschwitzt. You feel so hot. Because your thoughts are racing from one place to the next, trying to figure out what's going to be, or am I in trouble? And your mind isn't at rest. When the mind isn't at rest, the person becomes warm, physically warm. Become physically warm. In other words, Tnuas HaMachshav, Rabbi Nachman says, is Malida Chamimus Afilu Baguf. That when a person's thoughts are constantly in motion, the movement of thoughts, when a person's mind is racing thoughts, creates a chamimus b'lev, Rabbi Nachman said. Creates a fire in the heart. It ignites that flame. And he writes, "Ukamo chein beruchnius." And just like we see physically, that when a person's thoughts are racing, that it causes the body to become warm. Ukamo chein beruchnius. So it is spiritually. That when a person's mind is contemplating the greatness of Hashem, when a person doesn't allow the mind to remain empty, as the Rambam says, that a mind that is empty from thoughts of holiness, that person is vulnerable to sin more than anybody else. He is vulnerable to fall into the thoughts, the racing thoughts of ugliness, the racing thoughts of impurity. But when a person's mind, Rabbi Nachman says, "Kshamachshovah cheshevis begedulas abaris baruch ubetaroso hakedosha," when a person's mind becomes attached to the Torah, "umisnoeya mimachshovah lemachshovah," and the mind jumps from one thought to another in Torah Hashem and Godless Hashem, from one thought to another. And this doesn't only mean when a person is in yeshiva. When a person tries, let's say, to memorize psukim, to memorize mishnayos, to memorize concepts in Yiddishkeit, to chazen them over, and to go and to think and to work. So Ibn Achman says that the machshava is misnoeya, is moving, the mind is racing. Through the tnuas hamachshava, the tnuas hamoach, through the racing thoughts and racing emotions of godliness, of Torah, Rabbi Nachman says one draws the heat and the fire into the heart. That's not easy. For the person who wants to be makar of others and is therefore open game, Amish. So three different types, three major types of klipas, of mashchis. To be able to be burning with the labas eish, of continuously growing oneself in Yiddishkeit, and the mind racing from one place to another with thoughts of Torah and studying and learning, and even when one's not able to learn, but to be in continuous motion. That's not easy. And I believe that now we can understand our parasha. We can understand in our parasha something very beautiful. Tzavas Aaron Vesbonav Leimur. Command Aaron and his children, saying, Zayis Torah Sa'ola, this is the Torah. These are the laws of the Korban Olav, that Korban that is engulfed in flames and rises up to Hashem. Zayis Torah Sa'ola, Al Mokta Al Mizbech, and the burning fiery flames of the altar. Kol Halayla Ad Aboker, throughout the night until the morning, Ve'esh HaMizbech Tukad Bo. And the fire of the Mizbech, of the altar, burns. Let's understand. The Kohanim, our Kohanim, were chosen from among all the Jewish people to bring all the Neshamas together, to bring all the Neshamas back to Hashem. As it says in the Novi, Malachi, Ki Yisif say, and this is one of the last Nevuas that we have, Ki Yisif say, Kon Yishmu Daz, V'tar Yavakshim Yipiu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzivokosu, Kisif say Kohen Yishmu Das. The lips of the Kohen guard the truth. V'Torah Yevakshu Mipiyu. When we seek Torah from his mouth, Ki Malach Hashem Tzevokosu. He's the angel of God. And what kind of an angel? So the Novi says right before that, V'Rabim Heshiv Me'avon. The Kohanim were given the job in the way of Aaron. What was Aaron's point of beauty? What was the height of Aaron? The splendor, the glory of Aaron is that he was Oyev Asabriyas. That he loved all Jews and he brought them to the Torah. And the Tanya is Medayik in Perek Lamed Beis, Perek Lev in Tanya. That he was Oevis HaBrios. Brios means creations, creatures. It's the lowest term that one can use for another Jew, is he's a Brio. It means all he has going for him is that he's alive. Aside from that, he has nothing going for him. That's it. So the nature of Aaron HaKohen is what? Oevis Abrios u'makarvan la'Torah. That he's in love with all of God's creatures. He's makarvan la'Torah, even those who are most despicable. And he's makarvan la'Torah. And the Novi says, Rabim Hesh, he's called the angel of Hashem. He's the Malach Hashem who's seen in the Labas Eish, the fire. The Malach of Hashem is Aaron HaKohen and his descendants. V'rabim heshiv me'avon, he brought many people, Aaron, brought many people back from sin, brought many Jews into the Heichal HaKodesh. Therefore, it's the job that was assigned to Aaron and his children, lahalos, to raise up the fire, the Eish Kodesh, the fire of holiness, the Eish of Kedusha, the fire of holiness. That's the job that was given to Aaron HaKohen and his children. To build the Heichal HaKodesh. Therefore the Kohanim were placed in charge of that amazing structure, that amazing building that houses the fiery altar of bringing all things back to Hashem that have fallen away from holiness. U'beheicholo kuloi merkavin. The glory of Hashem is revealed in the Beis HaMikdash through the Kohanim who raise up to Hashem. the fires of those that have fallen into the coldness and the ugliness of impurity. So because Aaron and his children were assigned the task of bringing others back from Avon, from sin, therefore, in order to burn away the mashchisim, the karkas of impurity that surround those who sin, and those karkas that could attack Chas v'Sholom, the one who is the Nosar b'Yushalayim, who is alone in Jerusalem, who is left in Yushalayim, Hashem gave Zois Torah Sa'ayla, Tzavis Aaron v'Zbonav. That's the beginning of the parasha. Savis Aaron v'zbanav leim azayis tayris oila hi ha'oila al moik del mizbeach kol alayla ad ha'boik of eisha mizbeach tukad bo. The meaning of it is that there's going to be a long night ahead. The long night of Klal Yisrael is the long dark years of Golus. And there's such coldness, there's so many people who are falling away from the Rebbeinu Shlomo during this long night of separation of Golus. And the Kohanim have the Koach more than anybody, but it doesn't only mean a Kohen. It can mean someone who subscribes to the Torah of the Kohanim. The Nosar B'Yushalayim, who is the honorary Kohen of Hashem. Misha Menadev Liba, who wants to. So the fire has to burn until the morning. The fire has to burn until the morning, until Mashiach comes. So the Jews can be brought back, so the covenant of Hashem can be revealed, and to build the Heichal HaKodesh, the third base of Mikdash. Ad HaBoiker. And that's the deeper meaning, perhaps, that hinted at in the words, Ve'esh HaMizbech Tukat Bo. And the fire of the altar burns Bo. Not on the altar. Bo within him. Within the Kohen himself. Within the Noseb Yushalayim, as Rabbi Nachman said, Balabazesh ki Malach Hashem Tzavokos, to arouse the Malach of the fiery Islamis Hashem. That's Aaron HaKohen. Running from one place to another. Aaron HaKohen never stopped. Continuous movement, continuous motion. Tori Yavakish Mipiyu. Ki Malach Hashem Tzavokos. For Rabbi Meheshim Yavim. And because the Eishim Mizbech is Tukad Bo, is flaming within him, Mimela, he can make it through that long night and can light other Jews during that night, Adabaker. That the flame should be able to rise up to Hashem and the Oyla, Hi Ha Oyla Mizbeach, Kol Alayla, all during this night, until Mashiach comes. And how awesome is it that this parasha of Tzav we now read, Ben Gula Legula, when the Jewish people have the Koiches of Purim, and the Koch of Purim means the ability to fight against Amalek, and the whole Indian of Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech. The whole Teva of Amalek, as we've been speaking about the last month, is Asher Korcha, is to bring coldness into the heart. It's the opposite. Amalek is the opposite of the Labas Eish, of the fiery Malach in the heart. Amalek is Asher Korcha Baderech, to bring coldness into the heart. And with his coldness, with his heart that's cold, so there's tumah, there's taivis, it doesn't make a difference whether the person has a PhD in Jewish studies. They sell all the PhDs in the world for one Jew that's on fire. And with all the intellectualism, on the day of reckoning, all of the things that a person understands will not save that person from falling into aveiros. With all of the wonderful insights into the Radak and to the Malbim and so on, that's not going to save you on that day. The fire, the slavas. Amalek is the fire that seeks to burn down the Heichal Hashem. Amalek is the fire of desire, the fire of impurity that seeks to infiltrate into the heart and to take the Leiv Tahor and to make it Chalila into a heart that is not pure. To be Machr of the Heichal Hashem. To remove the Kovod Hashem from the world. To uproot Hashem's Kovod from the world. Amalek says there's no Kovod in this person. There's no Kovod Hashem. It's like Tzonis. we spoke about last week. Mimela, the avoda during this time, ben gula legula, the work of the Jewish people during the time between redemptions, the redemption of Purim, the redemption of Pesach, is focused on the destruction of Chametz. It's focused on searching and finding and blowtorching Chametz, burning away Chametz. So Yehuda says in the Gemara, in the first parak in Pesachim, Yehuda says, Ein bir Chametz el esreifu, which is what we pass in the Chachila. Ein bir Chametz el esreifu, the way to get rid of Chametz is with burning. Even though there are other opinions, as you know. But the Chachila, the way to destroy Chametz is with a esreifu, is with a fire. That means Yitzias Mitzrayim, which takes place every year, which is the longing of the Jewish people each year to free ourselves of those Mitzrayim that are holding us, to pull ourselves out of that impurity, to lift ourselves out of the Mashchisim and the Klipis and so on. So we have to invite, we have to arouse, as Rabbi Nachman said, the angels of the heart. And the way that a Jewish person is Megala, the Malach Hashem Tzavokos, in the labization, the fiery enthusiasm, is by burning the Chometz, by burning the Chometz. Since everybody knows, it's brought down even from the Kadmonim, from the Rishonim, that the Radbaz says, that the Pashtus in Chometz is the Yetzahar. I mean, there's no other thing in the Torah that you have to look for, Adkidei Kach, it's Afilo Mashahu, you know. It's Pashtus, the Pshat of Chometz, of the Seor Shabbos, is the Yetzahar, is the Pshat. Vision to Rebbe, the Havas Yisrael, all the Shalom. He once was, when he was walking with his Shamas, he was walking with the Shamas, it was for Bir Chometz, to burn the Chometz the night before Erev Pesach, the night before Pesach, to go burn the Chometz, the Erev Pesach. But he went for Bedikas Chometz with a candle. Bedikas Chometz, not Bir Chometz, went for Bedikas Chometz with a candle. So the whole time that he was going with a candle, which was for hours, looking everywhere, the whole time he was clapping on his, he was clapping like al chait and saying, ay, ay, he was giving claps. And then he was going like this for hours, and the Shamas said that the Rebbe was mamish coming to a state of unbelievable dveikas, of attachment to Hashem, until finally, he says that the Ahavas Yisrael, the visions to Rebbe, pulled open his coat and tore open his shirt and ripped the tzitzis, everything tore apart, and grabbed the candle and put it onto his chest and said, look here, if there's any chometz here. You know, and there's a Yehiratzen. Different Mahagodas, there are different Nuschos of the Yehiratzen to say by Bir Chometz. A short version of the Yehiratzen. Yehiratzen Lefanecha. Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avos saying, look, Hashem Shani Mevarach Chametz Mibesi Mishusi, may be your will, Hashem, that the same way that I'm burning the Chametz away, that I'm destroying, taking away the Chametz from my house, from my property, Kach Tevores Kol HaChitzayinim, so Hashem, may you remove and destroy, annihilate all the forces of impurity, as Ruach HaTumah Tavim and Haaretz, and may you take away from the land the Ruach HaTumah, the spirit of impurity. Hashem, please burn away from us, from within us, the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. And Hashem, renew us, place within us a flesh of a heart that's excited and burning with tov, with good. La'avducha be'emes, to serve you in truth. V'chol sitra'acha, v'chol aklipis, v'chol arisha, b'yoshan tichla, and may all, may the other side and all the klipas and all the shells and husks of impurity and all evil, may it go up in smoke and be destroyed. And may the kingdom of sin, of evil, be removed from the land. And all those that are oppressing the divine presence, that are hurting, that are oppressing the divine shechina, beruach be'er, beruach mishpat, destroy them with a fiery wind. And with the wind of judgment, Kishem Shabiartis Mitzrayim, the same way that you destroyed and you set Mitzrayim on fire, Ves Eloheim and their gods, Bayom Ahim is Manazah. Mele, you understand, let's finish. Mele, you understand. The reason that right before Pesach we have Shabbos HaGadol. In Shabbos HaGadol we read from the Navi Malachi, the last Nevuah, the third parak of Malachi. Speaks about Gili Eliyahu Navi, the arrival, the appearance of Eliyahu Navi at the end of time of Eliyahu, Mashiach Tzakeinu. It says in the Pasuk in the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol. Kihine Hayom Ba, the day is coming. Bo'er Katanur, and that day, the Navi says, is burning like an oven. Hine Kihine Hayom Ba, Bo'er Katanur. And the day is coming and it's burning like an oven, like a furnace. Bo'er Katanur. V'haya kol zeidim v'kol osei rishakash. And all of the evil, all of those who are wicked and evil will be like straw, like kash. V'lihatei som hayoim habor ma'ashem tzevokos. And that day will burn them, will destroy them. Ashelo yazav lahem shorish ve'anaf. Until there won't remain from evil, not a root, not a branch, nor the root. It will all be completely burned. The kash of Esav, of Amalek. On that day of Eliyahu Navi coming into this world, which is Bo'er Katanur, the chametz of the world will be burned. The chametz ha'olami. All the chametz that has accumulated throughout history, it's harder than cleaning a basement in a closet. All of the chametz of this world, all of the chametz in every crack and crevice, there won't remain a crumb. The harisha ke'oshon be'elshon kula tichla, kula tichla. It will be entirely obliterated and burnt. And those who remained in Osarim, those warriors of Hashem, will walk into Yerushalayim proudly. Yerushalayim that has been cleansed. That has been cleansed. Of the impurity of Avodah Zarah, of the impurity of Esav, and the impurity of Yishmael. And all this is going to happen through Eliyahu Navi, because Eliyahu Navi himself was the one who brought Eish down from the Shemaim, who brought fire down from heaven. Ach, the whole union of Eliyahu Navi, as you know, brought fire down from heaven on the Mizbech, and you also know that Eliyahu Navi left this world in a chariot of fire. As Eliyahu Navi is called the Malach Hashem, he himself is called the Malach Hashem. Eliyahu Navi is that part of us that wants to be on fire for Hashem. That's the Nitzoyitz, that's the spark of Eliyahu Navi, as explained in the Moriniyim. That's the Labasej. That part of us that remains. The part of us that is on fire. That part of us that wants to daven with his slavus and to learn with his slavus and for the mind to race and thoughts to move from one place to another. That's the core of Eliyahu Navi. And the Navi, and it says over there in the Navi, in that same Navua that we read on Shabbos HaGadol, on the great Shabbos that's burning. Hine anoichi shalech lachem es Eliyahu Navi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem HaGadol v'hanora. I am sending to you Eliyahu Navi, and that lifnei bo yoyim Hashem, that before that great and awesome day. V'heishiv levovos abonim levonim alavosim. And you know, Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen. Eliyahu Navi was Pinchas, Chazal say. Eliyahu Navi was a Kohen. To return the hearts of the Jewish people towards each other and to Hashem. The one who remains, the great Nosar B'Yushalayim, the mysterious one, is Eliyahu Navi. Who in ways that we didn't know was igniting within us a fire of Islam is to enable us to be Makarav ourselves and others in these last days before Mashiach. And he's the Kohen. He's Pinchas a Kohen. Pinchas ben Elozer ben Aaron a Kohen. It's the fire of Eish HaMizbeach, the fire of the Mizbeach. Kol HaLaila, Ad HaBoker, throughout the night until the morning. Until that morning of redemption, of Gula, of the Yom HaShem, HaGolu V'Hanoira. Mela, I don't really have time to explain this now. I have to be by a simcha, Baruch Hashem. This is the whole union of Shabbos Parah, of Parashas Parah. That is this week, isn't it? to be careful with the luach. Made a mistake a couple of weeks ago. Sitting in the parsha's parah. To burn the paradum into ashes. You know there was a paradum that was found in Eretz Yisrael last week. Not found, it's 6 months old, you know? In Kfar Chassidim near Haifa, in a religious yeshuv near Haifa, it's 6 months old, there isn't one black hair. 25 Rabbanim went to see. It's a good sign. If we remain pure, then no dark hairs will grow on it. If we do our best, the whole lineage of the paraduma that's burnt, and the person whose heart and life was burnt because of impurity, who fell into tumas meis mamish, the darkest tumah that could be lifted up with the sreifas apara, the side of peresh, what that means, which I can't talk about here, that number, it's not what you think it is, Mashiach. There's a maaser from Moshe Lipsasu. Was it set on 9:15? Yeah. So maaser from Moshe Lipsasu. Moshe Lipsasu was fasting for whatever reason, who knows what that was. He was fasting Mishabbos, Me'erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. From time to time, he would fast an entire week with Moshe Lipsasu. And each night, he would break his fast and only have a glass of water and some bread. And this was Me'erev Shabbos at Erev Shabbos, from Friday to Friday. Not at Shabbos Chalit. So it was once that Moshe Lipsasu, I'm sure many of you know that Moshe Lipsasu's thing in this world was to free Jews who were taken for ransom, who were imprisoned. And Moshe Lipsasu schlepped himself all over to try to free these Jews, to raise money and free them. It happened once that he finally was able to get the money. It was during that week. He hadn't really eaten the whole week. And it was the last day. And he was chalishing. And he came with the money to the house of the pirates, of the landowner, to give him the money to pay for the Jew to be released. And when he walked in, it was dinner time. And there was such an unbelievable, unbelievable good smell. You know, a good shreifa smell. And Rav Moshe Lipsasu said that he thought that he was literally going to die. There was such a smell, and he was so tired and so hungry and so weak that he was afraid that she'achazenu bulmus, that he would die. So what did Moshe Lipsasu do at that moment? So he said that before he left this world, he felt he was going to leave the world. He desperately sought to remember the teaching from the Holy Mizrach Magid. And he was able to hold on to remember a teaching of the Magid. And he said that the oinig, the delight that he had from that teaching of the Mizrach Magid, made him forget the oinig of the smell of the food. To be a Jew of Ashakorcha, an Ashakorcha Jew is not so hard. It's hard also. To be a Jew, just to be a Ma'amon is hard. And not, God forbid, saying it's a big thing. Ashakorcha Yid. But to be able to derive Tana, to try to derive the deepest possible pleasure in Islavas, joy and fire, from one's Torah and from one's Avodah. If you see, like in the yeshiva, if the Baruch Hu to be able to be as excited about a black Gemara as they are as about having a glass of beer or wine on Purim, such an Avodah of Purim, it's a gewaldige thing. I'm not minimizing that either. It comes from a deep place. But you know, it's a lot easier to drink a bottle of wine than to understand good pshat and the toises. It's a lot easier to be misandig in those kind of tanugim, or a good cholent, a good kishke, But to sink one's teeth into a Torah, that the mind should race, slavas, have an oynig atanug. The Sfas Emes was once standing outside Bismedrish. Any of you that have ever been to Ger in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, you know at certain times it's almost a danger to walk into the Beis Medrash. There's so much pushing and shoving. And I was privileged to be there even at the time of the Beis Yisrael. Even before you get into the Beis Medrash, if you happen to pass a guy just going in, he'll smack you. I mean, I wasn't even, there was room, but I passed by and he punched me in the stomach. I didn't know. Must be, it's part of the Avaida. And everybody wears like torn bekishes, you know, that over the years. And I came in all, you know, nicely dressed, and I left in a big mess. The pushing, the shoving is unbelievable. So it didn't start in this generation. So I saw it says in the Sfarim that the Sfas Emes was standing by the doors of Beis Medrash, and there was unbelievable tumult inside. And the Sfas Emes called out and he said, "I'm not coming in like this. I will not come in until the pushing stops. I will not." And his cousin, the Holy Rebbe Pinchas, the Pilitzer, was standing there, and he said, by the Chiddush Arim, there's also pushing like that. He never said like he's not. You know, he never said such a thing. By the grandfather, by Chiddush Arim, there was pushing and shoving. So Sfas Emes said, there's a difference. The Chassidim now, he said, are pushing to push the other Chassid away from him. And by my grandfather, the Chassidim were pushing their closer to Hashem. That's what he said. Let's try, between the Gula of Purim and the Gula of Pesach, let's stop pushing each other. Let's try to push to get closer to the Baruch Shalom. Let's try, when you're busy cleaning for Pesach, which is a tircha, as the Sfarim say, that's the holiest thing in the world, the perspiration of a cleaning for chametz. Let's try during the time, instead of being annoyed and being upset, having to do this and having to do that, and our parents, our wives, our husbands, or whatever it is, children telling us what to do and to clean. Try, when you're doing it, to have the thoughts of the Holy Rebbe from Vizhnitz, that you're trying to burn the chametz of the heart. And certainly it'll change something which could be very, very menial and unpleasant. It could change it to a very uplifting spiritual thing, all within the realm of our miserable kaychas, obviously. It's still hard to change easy off into something pleasant. But we're much bigger than we give ourselves credit for. Much, much bigger. Hashem is Baruch should help us, that we should be zoiched to see the Yom HaGadol V'Hanayra, with Eliyahu Navi coming and bringing back into our lives Mashiach Tzidkenu, V'Mehev Yomeinu Amen V'Amen. I'd just like...